say my title today is You Can Do This. Everybody say you can do this. And you can even say this. And so, all right. And so let me first say this is partly adapted. I heard a Facebook video about 3 or 4 months ago from a friend of mine by the name of Heath Hyatt. And when I heard him share about this story of this athlete, what I'll share, I'm like, dude, that is a message the Lord wants me to preach. Heath Hyatt is a pastor of a church called Church of the Heartland. It's in Indiana, and he pastors 8 different congregations that work together as satellite locations. Super guy. I met him when I was in Belize. Just a lover of the Lord and a good friend of mine. So partly adapted from him. Last week, let me just kind of preface you on what was preached last week. I preached a message called Let's Get Crazy. And so we talked about 4 different areas. Crazy about living out this book. Isn't that a little bit crazy that we would be a body of Christ? We would be a people that are lovers of Jesus that actually would believe this book is real? That we would actually be a people that when Jesus tells us to do something, that we actually believe that he wants us to do those things. Let's get crazy about living this book out. Let's get crazy about loving people. May 2020 be a year that we love people like never before, that we find tangible ways just to sow Jesus in the people's lives. Let's get crazy about taking big, bold, faith-filled risk. And last week we talked about that could be beginning the tithe. That could mean witnessing to your neighbor. What does that look like for you, taking big, bold risk for Jesus? And lastly, we talked about last week, let's get crazy about discipleship. The Great Commission calls us not to lead people to Jesus, but to disciple them. To grow them up, to mature them. Let's get crazy about raising people up. One of the reasons we do Go 101, it's that process of raising people up. Last week we looked at the Go Church goals and moving, and one of our first goals is moving into our own building. And everybody says, whoop, whoop. That's right. I am super excited about that. I'm super excited to have the sanctuary and my offices in the same location so we don't have to transport things back and forth. I'm super excited about all the men and women that help set up and tear down every week. Yes, Paula says hallelujah. Paula's about to do a Jericho march around the building. Hallelujah. And so, you know, and so we're just so excited. We realize the building is not the church, but it is a tool for the kingdom of God, and we're so ready to have that tool as our own. Last week on our goals, I think our goals are up there, yeah, right there. We talked about adding one more nation. We are a 4-square church, therefore we have a mission agency called 4-square Missions International, and so we sow into that, and that goes globally to about 140 different nations, but then we target one nation, that's currently the nation of Belize, to sow into, to be very strategic sowing into that. This year, we want to add one new country, we have in Central America, but in a different region of the world. I don't know where that's at yet. I'm seeking the Lord about that. That may be Africa, that may be Asia, that may be the Middle East, but we want to add one new country to our equation. We want to see 25 people saved and baptized this year, living out the first act of obedience in water baptism. We want to increase our tithe by 29%, and I believe we're going to do that. We want to take 50 people through our beginning of a discipleship process called the Go 101 that hopefully many of you signed up for this morning. We want to take 50 people and not only just going through it, but utilized in ministry. We want to see 200 people in active celebration on a given Sunday. We run somewhere between 130 and 140, 150 on a given Sunday. We are believing for 200 people in active attendance at Go Church in our new building. We have 8 Go groups. We're believing for 10 Go groups this year. Hopefully, not only do we have goals, but hopefully you have spirit-led goals for 2020 of your own life. Perhaps for you, that's digging into the Word on a deeper level. The last couple of weeks, we passed around these Go Read, and if you want one, we have them in the back, and I think we have them in the foyer as well. Getting focused on let's get crazy and actually living out this Word. best way to do that is to begin to read it. Maybe this year your goal is to get deeper into the Word like never before. Maybe your goal is to begin tithing that you've never done before. Maybe you haven't done it consistently. Maybe your goal is leading your friend to Jesus. Maybe your goal is taming your tongue. Everybody say, oops. Because you know in certain times you things come out of your mouth that you think later, where did those things come from? Maybe the Lord is speaking to you and saying, this is the year you tame the tongue. Perhaps it's stepping out into your gifts and your talents. God has given you gifts. God has given you talents, and you've hid them from the body of Christ. You've hid them from utilizing, and maybe 2020 is the year you say, I'm going to use my gifts for the kingdom of God. Maybe this year is the year that you begin taking care of your temple like never before. The Bible says we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I've said since I was in fourth grade that I'm planning on living to 103. Now, Robin tells me, she goes, I'm sorry, I'm going to be dead before then. But I'm planning on living to 103. If I plan on living to 103, I need to take care of this temple. God gave me this temple. I can't transplant my brain into George's temple. This is the only temple that I have, and I better take care of it. I'm going to eat right. The older I get, I turn 50 years old. I get an AARP discount this year. Yeah. I don't know if that's exciting or not. The older I get, the more I realize I must take care of this temple in order to be used fully by God. Because if I don't take care of this temple, then I'm not going to be able to serve Him at the capacity when I'm 70 or when I'm 80 at the level that He wants me to serve Him if I'm not taking care of this temple. Maybe this year God is speaking to you and said, this is the year you take care of your temple. Perhaps this is the year that you get rid of the vice that holds you back from fully serving God. And let me not be squeaky clean. We like using the word vice because it's much more politically correct. Maybe this is the year you get rid of that sin that holds you back from doing everything God wants you to do. God has spoken things to your life this year. Let me say right now, you can do this. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 says, do you not know that those who run in the race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. We are in a race called life. The prize is an eternity with God. And let me just stop there and be very, very careful in saying that, because it almost sounds like a works mentality. Our race leads to eternity if we don't do the race well. And so we are saved by the grace of God. When He died on the cross and rose from the dead, we personally accept that choice of His grace, and we are saved. So I'm not talking about that, but each one of you, including me, have a purpose from God. And that purpose and fulfilling that from God is not automatic. We just don't turn 99 years old and die and automatically fulfill what God had for me. It is a choice that we must make. We are in a race. We can reject that purpose or we can accept that purpose. That race we're talking about is fulfilling the purposes of God. Every stage of our life, God wants us to be doing something for Him. It's a sprint. It's not a sprint. It is a marathon. It's not one in a year. It's not one in 5 years. It's not one in 10 years. It is a journey of learning, maturing, overcoming, and fulfilling our God-given purpose. How many of you know you can go to 20, then 30? Everything is going great, and then something happens at 30 that rocks your world and sends you backwards. And God wants you to get back on track to fulfill His purpose. Every stage of our life has an opportunity to grow and to mature. 2020 is the year we grow. 2020 is the year we mature. 2020 is our year. You can do this. We can do this. Anyone ever heard of a man named, and I have to read it or I'll butcher his name, he's Kenyan, Eliud Kipchoge. Anybody ever heard of him? All right, George, at least one. Thank you, George. Is his picture up there? Right there, Eliud Kipchoge. Anybody now recognize who this guy is? All right, Samuel over there, I said two people. I see that hand. I want to tell you a little bit about his life. In 2019, he achieved in sports what science said could not be done. It is impossible. On October 12, 2019, Iliad ran the marathon in 1 hour, 59 minutes, in 40 seconds. He ran a mile a little over 4 minutes for 26 miles. That's roughly running 13 miles an hour for 26 miles. How many of y'all have a treadmill? All right. I have a treadmill. How many of y'all use that treadmill? All right. Go back to the original goals. Today is take care of that temple. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I don't use the treadmill anymore. But me and my faithful therapy dog, Prim, she's a therapy dog because we talk about everything. And she comforts me, and she tells me all the things. She is a big, great encourager in my life. She is a great dog. Am I not lying, Tori and Kaylee and all of my girls? She's a wonderful dog, right? We love our Prim. I should have a picture of her, but she wasn't in my sermon. Anyway, back to it. So every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I go on a walk. I go on a 1.5-mile walk. It takes me 30 minutes. All right, but when I'm on the treadmill, there are there are buttons, right? And I think my buttons go up to 10. How many of y'all have buttons on it? What those buttons are, one means you are walking at 1 mile per hour. 10 means you are walking at 10 miles per hour. My button is always on a 3. And if I want to walk really, really fast, it's on a 4. You think, Ilya, this guy, he doesn't have a button for 13. That's how fast he was going. I mean, that's a full run, not just for 1 mile, but for 26 miles. That is absolutely crazy. I told you about, I don't know, 6 or 7 months ago, I showed a video of another guy, Roger Bannister. I think his picture is about to be up there. There he is. Roger Bannister, in 1954, for hundreds of years, they said a man could not run a mile in less than 4 minutes. It was impossible to do it. It was impossible to do it. Roger Bannister, in 1954, broke that record, and he ran a mile in 4 minutes. You know what happened after that? It had gone for hundreds of years, and nobody had ever done it. And then right after he did it, I think it was the next year, may have been 2 years, somebody else did it. Now, I can't do it, and probably most of you in this room can't do it, but there are multiple people in the world living today that can run a mile in less than 4 minutes that they said could not be done. Roger proved that it could be done. Now, back to Iliad. He ran a 4-minute mile, 26 miles. Now, several years ago, scientists, I don't know who these scientists were, I just read about it. Scientists got together and they said, what is the endurance of a human body? What is the limit of their capacity? If they had the perfect legs, kind of like mine, you know, the muscle tone in my, if they had the perfect legs, not mine, a little bit taller than that, you know, if they had the perfect lungs, if they had the perfect endurance and the muscle capacity, what is the fastest speed that a man could run 26 miles in a marathon? What is the fastest? And they came up with these minutes. They said 2 hours in 3 minutes. Anything faster than that was totally impossible with this human body that we have. Iliad ran it in 1 hour, 59 minutes, and 40 seconds. He beat what scientists say everybody around him. You can turn it back to Iliad, because that's Roger. Right there. Where is he at? Right there. This guy did it faster and what science said he could do it. They told him it was impossible to run faster. He proved them wrong. I just want to show you about a 1 minute video of him running this race and winning this race. Go ahead and show that.
In under 2 hours.
If you go back to number two. Yeah, there it is.
They're cheering him on. 400 meters to go. Let's bring him home. This is history unfolding on the streets of Vienna this morning.
Now, as she's playing this, I want you to focus on the crowd. I'll talk about that in a little bit.
Goodness me, 300 meters to go. He can see the finish line here.
I want you to focus on those other men in black. I'll talk about that in a little bit.
Roger Bannister, the 4 minute mile 65 years ago. Edmund Hillary, the first man to climb Everest in 1953. We have 1 minute to go. Eliud Kipchoge is on his way here. This humble farmer who used to run 2 miles to school every day and back. He used to go to the nearest town on his bike to sell milk at the local market. And now,
look at that pace.
Work and discipline.
I'm tired even watching it.
Come on, he says. Eliud Kipchoge has the hand of history on his shoulder. He has less than 200 meters to go. Eliud Kipchoge, let's keep an eye on the clock. Into the final 20 seconds. Eliud Kipchoge.
Whoa!
On his shoulder, 140, the unofficial time.
There's his wife.
You can turn it off.
Eliud Kipchoge stole.
He did what man said was impossible to be done. Now let's move into my message. This is the year for Go Church. This is the year for you to overcome. This is the year to run your race in such a way to win the prize, to overcome your vice, your sin, your obstacle that holds you back. This is the year that we pursue God like never before. This is the year that we did what we sang today to give our whole heart to Jesus. The enemy might be saying to you, guess what? You ain't going to do it. You're going to try just like you did in 2019. You're not going to do it. You're going to fail after the end of January. You're going to go back to life the way it was always. But we just saw in that video, they said, science said it couldn't be done. And I say to you today, you can do this. Eliud refused to listen to the voices. And he accepted that he could do this. We can do this. 3 points this morning. Number one, you can do this because God is on your side. Psalm chapter 118, doesn't that sound weird? It was weird to me when I heard these words. God is on your side. It should really be flipped. We are on God's side, amen? I mean, we're not trying to say, God, this is my plan, and therefore you need to fit in the my plan. It should be the opposite way around. God, you have a plan for my life. I will fit in the your plan. That's the goal. But this scripture says that God, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Would you just say the first line? Say, the Lord is on my side. Now you need to say it like you mean it, because that wasn't like you meant. Say, the Lord is on my side. God is on your side. God is on your side. Don't you dare start 2020 with your glass half empty. Don't you dare start 2020 looking at your past and letting your past define your future. Because much of our journey has to do with our attitude and our trust. And our trust, as far as I'm concerned, is a trust in the God who says he can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we even ask or even think, according to the power that works in us. We read that scripture last week. Remember that God can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. Here's the cool thing about that. According to a power that works in us. Is that crazy? Not that we are anything, but we are just his vessels. That God says, I want to impact the world around you through you. The Bible speaks that you are an ambassador for Christ. If you are a believer in Jesus, God wants to impact your family, your friends, those who you work with his power through you. God is on your side because he is the God that can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could even ask or think. Romans chapter 31 says, what then shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Can we just say that? Say, if God be for us, who can be against us? Now, Romans 8:32 goes on to say that God did not even spare his own son Jesus to die for you. That's how much God is on your side. Now, this is not a feel-good message. This in no way says that God loves you, which he does absolutely love you. But this does not say God loves you, God is on your side, God's got this. Therefore, it frees you of any responsibility at all. It frees you of walking out your faith and developing the areas that God wants to develop. In no way is this saying this. God is for us. Yes, for the believer, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit indwells us. God is on our side. Yes, but it should compel us to live holy lives. He disciplines us to walk according to his likeness. God being on your side in no way says that God agrees with everything you do. Everybody say, oops. Say it again. Say, oops. Or you can say, oops. I don't know. God is on your side means that God has placed on your heart things for you to do this year. Things to change, things to fulfill in 2020. And we can achieve those things because we serve a God that can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could even ask or even think. You can do this because God is on your side. Now, if we're going to do it, we all need an encourager. Did you notice in the video, and I think there's a picture of it, the next slide. The picture of it is the crowd. You see the crowd there. Did you notice that he was not on an isolated street, just him running by himself? He had thousands of people cheering him on. Thousands of people encouraging him. I don't know if they were actually yelling the words, you can do this, but their cheers spoke, you can do this. Everybody heard, I didn't graduate from Texas A&M. Anybody graduate from Texas A&M? All right, right there. Anybody at all? All right, we can make fun of them. No, not really. No, in a football team, if I'm right, there are 11 players on the field, right? Right? All right. And those of you who don't know football, just say yes. Disagree with us because we don't know, you know. But in Texas A&M, there was a crowd that they call the people and the fans the 12th man. Why do they call him the 12th man? Because their actions, there truly is a science behind the home team advantage. There truly is a science behind that because when you're home with your thousands of fans, they become the 12th man because everybody needs an encourager. You need it. I need it. Every man in this room needs it. All the men say, amen. All women need it. Our spouses need it. We all need someone to encourage us. You've probably witnessed the movies. You could probably tell a story of your own, and you've seen the stories or you read a book, and this guy, he's been trying really hard, and he's about to quit. He's even wrote his resignation letter, and he is quitting, and someone sits down beside him and begins speaking him and encouraging him. And in the background, you hear the music begin to play. You know, it begins to build, and he determines that I'm going to go out and try it again. Then he goes out and conquers. You've seen it, you know. It could be a horse racing movie. It could be, I don't know, a football movie. They're all the same. The storylines are all the same. They're about to quit. Someone came alongside them. And that moment, that conversation changed everything. Have you ever been in a place where you were in a moment of decision and someone stepped in and encouraged you and it changed everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, comfort each other, edify, build up one another, just as you also are doing. I love this verse because in one sense it's saying, I want to encourage you to encourage everybody. And you're already into it. Good job. So even in the verse, it's encouraging you. Hey, go and build up people, Guale, just like you're already doing. So even the verse is encouraging. You get that? You get that part of the verse? Just like you are already doing, encourage one another, build people up, find ways to build people up because it changes everything. We can do this, this marathon of life that we are in. We need people around us to say, you can do this. Have you ever woke up and you put on some clothes and you looked in the mirror and you're like, dude, you look good today. And then you come out into the living room and your spouse looks at you and say, that's what you're wearing? Okay, that's fine. Totally destroys your day, right? Men and women, right? I mean, you go to work and you just got a new hairdo and you think it's the greatest hairdo in the world and somebody looks at you and says, oh, okay, that's nice. Liked what you did to your hair. Looks really good. Totally crushes your day. And then one day you walk into work and your boss looks at you and says, Milo, you are doing a phenomenal day. Milo walks like this the rest of the day. He calls Melissa. You know what my boss says today? He said, I am doing a great job. Remember Melissa, when you said I wasn't doing a good job? Well, my wife thinks otherwise. They didn't say that. I made all that up. But everybody needs an encourager, right? Man, I need encouragement. You need encouragement. We all need encouragement. It can change everything. As the body of Christ, as lovers of Jesus, be an encourager to those around you. Your family, your friends, your spouse, those you work with. Find ways. You can do this. Number three, you can do this because, and it takes a team. Back to Iliad, if you would put that picture back up. See there? All those guys in black, there were 41 of them. 41 of them. And at any given time, there was 5 or 6 that ran with him. They ran alongside him and made sure that he kept the pace. Because without them, he would have fell. Because he could not achieve it without a team. If he would have lost the pace, he would have lost the race. All of us need a team. All of us need a team. He needed it. He could not have broken what science said could not be done without this team, and he knew it. Therefore, he hired 41 of them. They couldn't do it on their own. They couldn't have ran what he ran, but they partnered with him to run the race with him 5 or 6 at a time. Left to ourselves, you and I tend to get off pace. We tend to become self-focused and not God-focused. Can I say that again? Left to ourselves, we tend to become self-focused and not God-focused. Now, I have an illustration. It works really good in my head. We'll see how well it does to y'all. But by the way, this is my favorite candy right now. If you're praying, I know half of y'all are praying about what to give me for my birthday. I know y'all woke up this morning going, what can I give Pastor Lee, even though this birthday is 6 months away? Guale, could you open that real quick? Let me just tell you about Hershey's cookies and cream. Anybody like Hershey's cookies and cream? For right now, and I change, you know, about every 6 months, for right now, this is the candy of heaven. Let me tell you about this candy. All right. Let me just tell you a little bit about this candy. Okay. All right. Now, Guale, you can have a little slice. Don't eat all of it, okay? I know Guale was thinking about it. Now, let me tell you about this. Now, the first time, and I like them, they have these small little minis, you know, and so you can eat, like, and the first one I eat, I can't describe it. It is the most amazing taste I've ever tasted in all my life. If you know anything about me, I like sweets. This is divine. I mean, truly the Holy Spirit was there when they came up with this recipe. It's that good. It's really good. But now Robin buys me like a whole bag at Christmas. One is really, really good. The second one that I eat is still really, really good. The third one that I eat is still really, really good. The fourth one I eat is still really, really good. The 15th one that I eat, all in about a 10-minute time span, no longer has the taste that it once tasted. I'm still craving. I'm still wanting to go for the 16th, but it's just not there anymore. My stomach in about 30 minutes doesn't feel very well. It feels sick, and it feels like this is very unhealthy. It feels nothing like that first. And my whole point is, left to myself, me time is good. I'm not saying you should never have me time. We all need me time. How many of y'all need me time? You need a time that you just go and you have me time, whether that's a book, whether you sit in front of a TV, whether you're just quiet, whether you're in a prayer time. All of us need me time. I need me time, but left me time all alone, all to myself, without a team and encouraging me and challenging me, my one divine moment of chocolate becomes 15 with a stomach ache. It becomes self-indulgent. It becomes way far away from where God wants me to be. Because being alone, we move into a self-focused rather than a God-focused time. Left to myself, my desires, I tend to get off pace, off focus, and become very self-focused. When it comes to the race called faith, I need Jesus lovers around me to build me and challenge me, to encourage me, to strengthen me, to challenge me to build other believers. And the church is that vehicle. Can I say this? The church is not a sermon on TV. Quiet. The church is not a Joel Osteen sermon. I'm not saying anything negative or good or bad about him. The body of Christ is far more than a sermon. So many people said, man, I love Jesus. I just watch a sermon on Sunday and that's my two bits worth. If that's all they're doing, they are doing nothing for the kingdom of God. Can I just be that bold and say that? Because it takes a team. A church service is far more than hearing Lee Brockington for 45 minutes on Sunday morning. It's being community together. It's challenging one another to go and serve Jesus, to go and love people, to go disciple people, to reach people for Jesus. It's expanding the kingdom of God, and we do that as a team. And when we are isolated, what happens in our isolation, we create our own set of doctrines that nobody challenges because nobody's in our team. What happens is we do nothing, so Christianity becomes a very self-indulgent, I'll just turn on the TV and hear that I am really good and God loves me. Then we turn it off and say, man, that was a great sermon. There's nobody that challenged me. The church is about unified prayer. The church is about a unified vision. This is God's design. Now, hear me. The church is definitely not perfect. I know that. I've done this thing for 27 years as an adult, and I was born in the church. I know this place isn't perfect. You know why it's not perfect? Because George is here. And it's not perfect because Lee Brockington's here. And it's not perfect because you're here. You're not perfect. Have you heard anybody say, I don't go to church with too many hypocrites, sir? I've heard people say, yeah, I'd rather go to church with a few of them than go to hell with all of them. Ouch. Yeah, guess what? People in churches sometimes are hypocrites. Do you ever do anything that's very hypocritical? Do you ever leave on Sunday morning and decide you're going to love all people and that person at the restaurant you go to is mean as ever and so you tell them off? Come on. And then they say, are you dressed up because you just went to church? You're not perfect. Should we stay there? No. But you're not perfect. The body of Christ definitely is not perfect. It will hurt you. It will wound you. People in this body will at times say things they should not say. Is it wrong? Absolutely. Should they correct it and ask for forgiveness? 100%. But the fact of the matter is, this is not a perfect institution, but it's the one God created to develop you. And maybe because of people's flaws, God uses those flaws to find out how you will respond, whether you will respond by a flaw or you'll respond more like Jesus. Maybe even people's flaws are a tool that God uses to refine you. It's not perfect, but it gets the job done. It's been around for 2,000 years, and it's spread Christianity around the world. If you go to my Facebook page, you can click on to, I think it's 7 or 12, 10 maybe it is, interesting facts about the church. It's a very interesting article. It's worked for 2,000 years. God chooses to partner with you. You're in perfection, and he chooses to use you. We need a team. We need a team. It's called the body of Christ. Be faithful. Be faithful to the team around you. Would you stand with me this morning? Because you can do this. You can do it with a team. This morning we talked about three things. You can do this because God is on your side. You can do this because we all need an encourager around us. And you can do this. It takes a team. But our leaders begin to make their way up. You're in this room and you're struggling this morning. You can't do it by yourself. Join with somebody. You don't have to share all the details. Join with somebody in this room this morning and pray with us. There's leaders in this room that want to pray with you. If that's you, make your way forward. This morning you are here and you've been in the presence of God, and God is speaking to you about things that need to change in 2020, and you say, God, I want to change those things. Join with somebody in prayer. Grab a hold of somebody. Maybe you're in this room and says, I haven't made a decision for Jesus Christ yet. Today is my day. I begin 2020 seeking you out like never before. There are things I'm supposed to be doing in 2020. I want to fulfill those things. You need to come forward for prayer. If you're sick in body, as Yada had proclaimed earlier in the service, and you need a healing in your body, would you come forward? We want to pray for you. Patricia, if you wouldn't mind bringing up that oil. If you need to come this morning, would you come? If you need to come, I believe there's more that need to make decisions as we move into 2020. You need to confess with your mouth these decisions. There's somebody here that may need to make a decision for Jesus Christ. Man, I want to serve him in 2020 like never before. Could we just have some men and some ladies gather around Jordan right here? Jordan went to the eye doctor this week, and he just found out that he has a condition that he's going to need surgery on. More importantly than the surgery is it could affect aspects of the military moving forward. We believe that we're a bunch of believers that believe that God can show up and do something miraculous. Amen? Hallelujah. Just gather around him right now. Hallelujah, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Father God, we believe with all our might that you are a God that heals, God. You are a God that can take an eye and totally reform it and make it whole and well in Jesus' name. You are a God that can heal cancer. You are a God that can raise the dead. You are a God that heals in Jesus' name. We proclaim healing and miraculous healing in Jordan's life in Jesus' name. We pray that eye is well and whole, and it will not affect his future in Jesus' name, God. We thank you for doing that, God. We believe that you are a God that says by your stripes, we are healed in Jesus' name. You are the God that wrote in the word that called the elders of the church and let them lay hands on the sick. And the Bible says they will recover in Jesus' name. We believe that. We set this year and says we believe the book that you wrote for us, God. We believe that you are a God that heals spiritually, emotionally, and you are a God that heals physically in Jesus' name. Would y'all just gather around him and continue to pray for him? If you still need ministry this morning, would you just make your way up? Holy God, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We'll just keep you a couple of more minutes. But there's some good ministry taking place this morning. If you need to come, would you come? Thank you, God. 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 There's a ministry that's going to continue. I'm going to pray and have a prayer of dismissal. Understand that there's ministry that continues on, and so be sensitive to that this morning. I end by saying you can do this. Father, I thank you for the number of people that came forward and are saying there are things in my life that need to change in 2020. There are things that need to happen in 2020, and God, we rely on you. And as far as I walk with you, we say, God, we can do this. We understand that you are on our side, Father. You are for us, not against us, God. We stand in that, God. Father, surround us around men and women in the body of grace that would encourage us and challenge us. Speak the word over us. Speak truth and always truth, God. Thank you, God. And Father, we can do this, and we need a team. Cause us to be faithful to this body, God. To encourage one another, to challenge one another, to build one another up. We do it as a team. We thank you for that, God. Father, we thank you that we can do this by your power, by your strength. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for being here this morning. God's been good to us today. Bless you.
Change to